Proverbs chapter 12, verse 27. The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the precious substance of men is to the diligent. Now I'm conscious, as are most of the commentators and translators, so there will be footnotes as there is in the NIV and as there is here in the 1901, that the precise meaning of the Hebrew word translated roasteth is difficult to ascertain, but most translators settle on something akin to this, so let's assume that's the right translation. The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting. He gets up one morning early enough to go out on the hunt, and he gets on his camouflage clothes, and he gets on his equipment, and he's got his bow and his arrow, his 30-06 Mauser, and he's going to go out there, and he's going to go catch him something. Why? He wants to put some meat on the table. I mean, he shows real diligence. So he goes out on the hunt, and he brings down his game, and he guts it, and hangs it up, and bleeds it. And then he hauls it back home, and the whole family is thrilled. Oh, man, we're going to have meat tonight. He said, I'm so tired from getting up early, walking through the woods, and hauling that beast out. I got no time to roast it. And the flies begin to gather around it. After a day or two, it's nothing but a bloating, stinking carcass, and then the buzzards begin to eat it. You say, what a tragedy. What's the emphasis here? The emphasis is upon the man who stopped short of completing his task. What was the whole end for which he went out hunting? To have some nice venison on the table to nourish his family. So bringing down the game and gutting it and bleeding it and bringing it home was not enough. All of that was a means to the end. And he stopped short of the end. And God says he's a slothful man who does not roast that which he took in the hunting. But the precious substance of men, a full belly with good tasting venison, is to the diligent. The man who, when he's dog tired and his legs are aching from tromping through the woods and bringing down his game and hauling it out of the woods, pushes himself beyond what he feels comfortable doing until he sits back, and in his weariness he delights to see his family licking their chops and saying, Daddy, thank you for bringing home some nice meat for us. So it says, though you and I may not be called on to go out and hunt, we are called to a legitimate task, and so often the problem is we fall short of the completion of the task. And Solomon recognized this, and he's exhorting his son, his pupil, that in his whole thinking about this matter of laziness and diligence and the horrible fruits of laziness and the blessed fruits of diligence and industry, it's the slothful man who roasts not that which he took in his hunting. Now, before we move to any other verses, I want to say something in tribute to my own father and my own mother. I received a letter this week in which my dad summarizes what he said at a family picnic a week ago. I was hoping to attend it. It was to be the first time all 10 children would be together in 10 years. My unconverted brother from out in the West Coast flew out with his family, and we were unable to go because of the family crisis that many of you are aware of. And a sister of mine was unable to be present. She was in having an ovarian tumor removed the night before. But my father wrote down these thoughts to share with his family. Listen to what he said. By all worldly standards, ours should have been a failed marriage, speaking of his own marriage. Two high school dropouts, a husband with only the prospects of a temporary job, and in a period of time known as the Great Depression, no pre-marriage counseling and not one seminar on how to have a successful marriage. Yes, there were mistakes. I don't claim to have been a perfect husband or father. Far from that. I confess many failures. I can say this, however. In all the nearly 60 years your mother and I have been together as husband and wife, she and she only has had my love and affection in our relationship as husband and wife. And I can testify that not once did I ever see my father's eye rest upon another woman. 60 years of absolute fidelity. You children are the products of two inexperienced babes who wanted each of you and never felt that as each of you joined the family, a burden had been placed upon us. Our home was our castle, not things, nor prestige. Now listen to these next words. We tried desperately to model stability, a God-fearing example, and a dedication to this work principle, quote, a thing worth doing is worth our best effort and should be brought to conclusion. He said, that was a conscious work effort we tried to impart to you children, that a thing worth doing is worth our best effort and should be brought to conclusion. Wasn't enough to bring the deer home and plop it in the backyard. You had to cut it up and roast it. I never went hunting. I'm using the imagery here. It meant that a mother, most of the time big with child, had time enough to get on her knees next to me when she's teaching me how to scrub floors and say, son, the scrub brush won't get into the corner. You got to take the rag with your finger and go into the corner if you're going to get the dirt in the corner. That's right. Dropping all she had to do with no easy care clothes. Clothes that be sprinkled one night and wrapped and ironed the next night. And clothes that had to go through two or three wringings in the old soap tubs in the basement. Some of you are old enough to know what I'm talking about. But time enough to say it's not enough to roast the beast. Not enough to fell the beast and quarter him. You've got to roast him. It's not enough to get the bucket and slosh up most of the dirt. You've got to get the dirt in the corner. Son, clean the French doors between the dining room and living room. But Ma, I hate cleaning windows. I know it, son. And that's why I'm giving you that task, because doing things you don't want to do develops character. And she examined the corners, and if they weren't clean, as clean as the finger could get them, they had to be done over again. You say, what's the fruit of it? Well, it certainly isn't perfect fruit. But I tell you, it's that drummed into me that drove me, after being in this building from 8:30 yesterday morning till 5:30, till we left this building, to go home, grab an hour's nap, and push myself up in my study till after 11 o'clock last night, that I might feed you precious sheep. My flesh didn't want to do it. Couldn't I wing it and freewheel it? Preaching for 40 years, plenty to say. Yes, I could have freewheeled it and winged it. But I would have the frown of my God upon me, and I regard you as worth something more than that. I regard you as worth my best. And I bless God for parents that reared me that way. Your children going to rise up someday and say that of you? Not if some of you go on the way you're going. Because your very patterns of life exemplify too many traits of the sluggard. And you've got to start getting your own act together so you can start having some clout with the consciences of your kids to help them get their act together. How crucial, how vital, in a day that says, do as little as you can for as much money as you can get, to have people whose attitude is, whatever my hand finds to do, I'll do with all my might. And it may mean you get mocked out for it. When I did dog work as a construction worker, the other guys used to say, hey, Martin, what are you trying to do? Show us up? No, I said, but I work unto not the boss, and I named him, but I said, I work unto Jesus Christ. And they said, he's a hopeless religious nut. I don't care what they thought. Folks, this is serious business. Solomon thought it important enough to repeat it again and again.